In the scriptures, God says to us, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. The word of God tells us to come out and be separate. How holy is holy enough? How holy is too holy? We'll take it up today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Holiness to the Lord. Be holy, the Lord says, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. A major theme of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, something based not on circumstances, something based not on culture, but something based on the very nature of God. What does it mean to be holy? How can we follow the scriptures here without getting caught up in all kinds of legalism and bondage? How can we follow the scriptures here without giving way to compromise and carnality? Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. What does it mean to you to be holy? How do you work this out in your own life if you are a God-fearing person and wanting to honor and love and serve the Lord? What does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be separate? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire or weigh in with your comments. Join others right now on our Facebook page. Ask Dr. Brown, Ask D.R. Brown on Facebook. In my book, Revolution, the Call to Holy War, I have a chapter on uncompromising holiness. Let me share something from that chapter with you. Every revolution has a battle cry, a central theme, a rallying call. Every revolution has a standard it raises high and a banner it unfurls, declaring its agenda, solidifying its ranks, unifying its goals. For the American Revolution, the battle cry was, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. For communism, the battle cry has been, workers of all countries, unite. For Islam, the battle cry remains, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Our revolution has a battle cry. It is our central theme, our rallying call. It is the standard we raise high and the banner we lift up for the world to see. It declares who we are and announces where we are going, setting forth our agenda and our goals. It is our counterculture message, our confrontational word, the unshakable foundation of our radical reformation. It is our antidote to the devil's poison and our answer to the world's confusion. It is our strength, our sword, and our shield as we advance against the forces of hell. What is our battle cry? What is the standard we raise high? It is holiness to the Lord. That is our call to arms. That is the requirement for every soldier in the army. That is the banner under which all of us march. That is the heart of the revolution, talking about what we refer to as the Jesus Revolution, God changing us and sending us into the world to change the world through the gospel. This message, holiness to the Lord, I say it's the message that transforms entire generations, the message that makes broken lives whole, the message that destroys injustice, the message that puts families back together, the message that sets captives free, the message that restores dignity and self-respect, the message that brings God near, the message that drives sin away, and a message that will be resisted. Now, I fully understand that some of you listening have a real hard time with this subject, not because you love sin, not because you love the flesh, not because you love the world, but because you've been raised or burned by real legalism, by a setting of, earthly standards, human standards, human wisdom, being policed by other people who add to what the Word of God says or who think that their own unique reading of Scripture is everyone's reading. And you were put into bondage. You weren't brought into liberty. You weren't brought into freedom. You weren't given power to live above sin. You weren't shown the beauty of holiness. You were just judged and squeezed in. And the moment you hear the word holiness, it's a dirty word to you. But I want to help you embrace this today because we are called to be holy because God is holy. There is nothing more beautiful than holiness. Nothing more beautiful than holiness. That's right. We're going to talk about it today right here on The Line of Fire. Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Come out. Come out from among them and be separate. That's what Scripture says. What actually does it mean? Because the Word also tells us to go into the world and make disciples. Come out of the world, go into the world. What does it mean? How do we walk this out? How do we walk it out without walking around as holier-than-thou kind of people, snobbish with our religious noses stuck up that we are better than everybody else in the world, and they can never conform to our standards, which means our particular traditions and ways of doing things? How do we avoid being like that on the one hand? On the other hand, not just being like the world, sinning like the world, thinking like the world, living like the world, walking by the standards of the age? What does it mean to be holy? How do we live out holiness before the Lord? Why is it so important in Scripture? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Maybe there's some principles you've worked out in your own life that have been fruitful and helpful you'd like to share with us online. You can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. By the way, on our Facebook page or on our Line of Fire website, we have many of our best articles from the Voice of Revolution, links to them, a free reading on holiness, great articles on holiness from our Voice of Revolution online magazine. So by all means, as soon as you have the opportunity, visit the website or visit our Facebook page and take advantage of these great, great edifying articles, life-changing articles, along with some that I wrote too. I realized I was calling them great, great articles. Some of them were mine. But let's listen to the Scriptures, all right? And let's ask the question, why is holiness such a big deal? Why is holiness so important? God says to his people in Leviticus 19, but then it's repeated in 1 Peter 1. In other words, this is not just Old Testament stuff. It's not for us today. This is just Old Testament stuff. No. These things are as relevant today as they were in the time of ancient Israel. Why? Because God says, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. In other words, holiness has to do with who God is. Holiness has to do with the nature and character of God. If you want a working definition of what holiness is being conformed to the ways of God, the will of God. Holiness is becoming like Jesus in thought, word, and deed. How's that? Shall I repeat it? Holiness is becoming like Jesus in thought, word, and deed. When we see him, we see the Father, and we are called to become like him. You say, no. God came to set us free. You're putting a lot of bondage and rules on us and regulations and just trying to live by a code of law and trying to put a code of law on us. No. Actually, Jesus sets us free from sin, not free to sin. Can I repeat that? Jesus sets us free from sin. He doesn't set us free to sin. The reason that holiness is good, the converse of it, being like God is wonderful, walking like him, having his values, having his standards, living according to those is of the utmost importance. The flip side is sin is bad. Sin is poison. You will never commit sin and at the end of the day or at the end of your life look back and say, wonderful, that was worth it. I'm so glad I did it. I'm talking about as a follower of Jesus, as a believer, as a God-honoring, God-fearing, God-loving person. Sin is always destructive. Sin is always poison. Sin is always the wrong choice, the worst choice. Sin in your spirit is more dangerous than cancer in your body. Listen to what the Word says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning of verse 14. Notice I'm quoting to you from the New Testament. And again, sometimes if I quote verses from the Old Testament, people are like, well, that was just for the Old Testament. And of course, Jews wouldn't think like that for the most part, or Jewish believers would have more sensitivity to that issue. But many times someone hears it and thinks, no, that's just Old Testament. Okay, to overcome that issue with you, I'm quoting from the New Testament. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? So on some level, We're in this world. We're working among people who don't know the Lord. We have family members maybe who don't know the Lord. We have neighbors who don't know the Lord. We are certainly not escaping to live, you know, go away in the desert somewhere and start a new order of monks, or just go into some mountain somewhere and separate ourselves in that way. And yet, we've got to separate ourselves from the sins of the world. We've got to separate ourselves from the carnal standards of the world. James, Jacob chapter 4 tells us that friendship with the world is hatred toward God. That if you are entertained by everything that entertains the world and there's no conviction in your life about it, something's wrong. If the filth of the world is appealing to you, something's wrong. I'm not saying this to condemn. I'm simply saying that something is wrong in your life, in your spirit, if things that grieve God don't grieve you. Paul continues, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. How far do we take that? Touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And now look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Let's focus on the word. Let's open our hearts, our minds to the word of God. Don't resist this as if this is negative. Look, maybe you're ensnared in a sin right now. Maybe you're on the verge of committing adultery. And you're right, ready to just at the precipice, ready to take the plunge. Maybe you're bound by pornography. Maybe you've got an opportunity to make a lot of money, but you've got to do it dishonestly. Maybe there are other strongholds in your life that have just pulled you in deeply and dramatically. And you love them. You know they're wrong, but you love them. And you want to resist what I'm saying. No, these are words of life, friends. These are words of life. These are words that can save you and me from destruction. These are words that call us higher. Look, if I went to a doctor and the doctor told me, okay, you've got a problem, but the way to fix this problem is to radically change your diet. And he says, what foods do you eat? I tell him all my favorite foods. And he goes, all of those have to go. I don't like hearing that. That's not positive news. It's not positive for the flesh. However, if that was the situation, it's just what I need to be healthy. These words are just what we need to be spiritually healthy. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ, as Messiah loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this. Now, I want to repeat, friends, I'm just reading what the Word of God says, what Paul has written here in the New Testament. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. He said, well, that's legalism. That's salvation by works. No, it is being saved. In other words, those who are truly saved and serving Jesus as Lord will not be marked primarily as sexually immoral people or impure people. They will be marked as people who want to do the will of God. That's part of being born from above. We may have struggles and temptations. We may fall short. We turn to God in repentance. We ask him to forgive us and cleanse us. And then a sign, a fruit of our salvation is we then go in the right direction. Paul continues, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. This is not the letter of the law. The letter of the law is external commands set up in such a way that they tell us what is wrong, but they don't give us the power to do what is right. The gospel not only exposes what's wrong, but empowers us to do what's right. That's what the new birth does in terms of holiness. It doesn't just say, here's the standard, now live up to it or else. No. Instead, the standard is raised, and by God's grace, we have a new nature. And by God's grace, we desire to do the things that please Him. And by God's grace, we hate the flesh, and we love the things of God. Be holy, for the Lord our God is holy. My contention is, yes, there is legalism in the body today. Yes, there are people who are being hurt by a powerless, lifeless holiness message. But I'm convinced the greater problem is compromise, carnality, worldliness in the church in America. What do you think?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, just want to give you a heads up. Tomorrow, I really prayed about the broadcast, and I'm going to be bringing a call to courage on tomorrow's broadcast. So even if you don't normally get the broadcast or tune in on Wednesdays, do your best to tune in. I believe you'll be challenged and edified and strengthened and encouraged. Today we're talking about holiness, what it means to be holy. My contention is the Church of America, yes, we do have a problem with legalistic teaching. Yes, we do have a problem with just do's and don'ts without empowering people. Yes, many of you listening have been burned by legalism. But in my view, our much, much, much bigger problem is not legalism, but license. Our much bigger problem is carnality, compromise. Our much bigger problem is departing from the standards of God's Word and departing from a love for holiness. 866-34-TRUTH. God never said be relevant because I'm relevant, but He did say be holy because I'm holy. 866-348-7884. Weigh in on our Facebook page. Ask Dr. Brown. Ask D.R. Brown on Facebook. We have links there to great articles on our Voice of Revolution magazine. Online links to great holiness articles. I'll mention some of them to you in a moment. All right, before I go to the phones, a comment from Joel, whom I know personally, a powerful street evangelist. He said, most in the American church have no idea what holiness means, nor do they care to know. Worldliness is rarely talked about in most churches, but it is a mindset that is set on riches, pleasures, and worldly entertainment. Self-denial goes against this mindset and ultimately defeats it. When we set our affections on things above and not on earthly things, when we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we lose our appetite for the world. John, who referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 866-34-TRUTH. Joe in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Joe.
I wanted to comment. Basically, I think that part of the issue with not deciding or not being able to live a holy life is the people that we tend to associate with. You know, I mean, if somebody who's recovering from alcohol is hanging out with people that hang out in bars all the time, ultimately they're going to end up drinking again.
Yep.
You know, if I'm trying to break a bad habit and I'm hanging around with people who are doing what I'm trying to quit, ultimately I'm going to end up getting back to that. And I think that having the influence of the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit to completely overwhelm us is the key to, you know, not hanging out with those people, you know, changing our attitudes towards different aspects of life and so on.
Right. So we have to make a conscious effort, Joe, to do that. You know, what you're referring to, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that bad company corrupts good morals. And
exactly.
We have to make a conscious effort to reprogram ourselves, to develop an appetite for the things of God, to develop an appetite for holiness, to develop an appetite for truth and for the beauty of purity. And as we do, then we lose our appetite for other things. And sometimes God can just use the word zap us, you know, and we're just changed. And oh my God, what happened? But unless we continue to walk in it and renew our minds with the word and have quality fellowship with the Lord and with other believers of like heart, 2 Timothy 2:22 tells us not just to flee the evil desires of youth, but to pursue holiness, to pursue righteous, godly living with others of like heart. So amen, Joe, it's important. And I think a good question to ask ourselves, I'll ask you directly, oh yeah, coming after you today, but to encourage you, to help you, question for you. When you're around people, does it elevate them in God? Does it keep them the same, or does it drag them down? What impact does your presence, your fellowship have on other believers? Positive, negative, or neutral? Shouldn't it be positive for every one of us? Shouldn't that be our goal? 866-34-TRUTH. Our friend Gyro in North Miami. Hey, man, you got a name like this. It's easy to remember you. Thanks for calling again.
Yeah, pleasure to speak with you again. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Last Sunday at church at Bible study, the question was asked, you know, what has the Lord asked of us that we had to surrender to? And I used to hang out in the bars every night, and I used to be a drunk. Never got caught drinking. I got lucky on that, but I was a drunk in general. I drank beer every night. I went to the bar scenes and the clubs and all that. And when the Lord touched me, I no longer wanted to do that. And so I shared this with the brothers and sisters in the Bible study last Sunday, and one person got up and said that I was legalistic impose that on anybody. And I couldn't believe it, but it just shows you that in today's time that we're living in, when we cry out, more holiness or righteous living or repentance, you'll find out how many enemies come up out of the woodwork, even from the own household of faith. So
yeah,
I experienced that last Sunday, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Did you say, I used to be like this, God changed my life, I don't do this anymore, or I used to be like this, God changed my life, and I'm telling every one of you, you can't do this?
I believe that
when you shared that, what did you share? Did you share what happened?
I shared that the question was, what did we surrender?
Someone didn't even let you testify about what happened in your own life. You weren't even setting that as a standard for everyone. Although I can't imagine that you would love the Lord and want to go on the bar and get drunk or anything like that. So, hey, we got a break coming up, but of course, Darrow, be patient with whoever that person was, and maybe there's some reason they're reacting. Let's do our best not to make an outward assessment. Maybe there's something deeper in the lives. Pray for them by all means. But yes, sir, you're absolutely right. Something as simple and fundamental as I used to get drunk and hang out in the bars, and now I don't anymore, and someone calls you legalist. Oh, boy, do we need help in this area. That's why I'm talking about it on the air. Okay, good news for you, friends. Not only do we have all these resources online that you can read free, great articles, informative articles, inspiring articles on holiness and purity on our website, on our Voice of Revolution website. But we've got great resource that ties in directly with the subject and at a super discount. You can get about 20 hours of teaching for $1 an hour, if you can believe that. My series of teaching on holiness, where we talk about legalism versus liberty. We talk about what holiness is and practical ways to overcome sin. Edifying, life-changing teaching on a CD for your MP3 player or your computer, plus my entire series on how to be led by the Spirit, how to recognize God's voice, how to walk in the Spirit. Really practical stuff. Edifying and practical. They're only $20 each. You can get both of them, which means 20 hours of teaching just for $20. So it's half price, plus we'll pay the postage. So I really think you'll be blessed by this, and it'll really impact your life. 1-800-278-9978 is the number to call to get these two CDs for the price of one, plus we'll pay the postage. 20 hours of teaching on holiness and being led by the Spirit, as practical as we can make it. Call us today, 1-800-278-9978. Last time, 1-800-278-9978. Let's go for it, friends. Let's step higher. Let's be holy, because the Lord our God is holy.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
How holy is too holy? How holy is holy enough? How holy is not holy enough? I mean, is that how God has it set up? He's kind of like you're holding something. If you ever do this with a dog, you're holding something. The dog's jumping and trying to jump as high as it. Not quite. Is that how God is with holiness? No. I'm so sorry. As the saying goes, close but no cigar. You really tried hard, buddy, but you thought that wrong thought yesterday, so you don't make it in. Sorry. Is that how God deals with us? Certainly not. He's not sadistic. He's not playing a game with us. He's not trying to hurt us. His goal is not to torment us with an unattainable standard. However, on the flip side, he is not saying, just go out and party. Yeah, just go out and do what the flesh wants. Hey, if it feels good, do it, because I'm an understanding God. When people say God understands my sin, I say, yes, and he hates it. If God understands my sin, yes, he does. He hates it, and Jesus died for it, and he says, now turn from it. That's holiness, and holiness is beautiful, and holiness is required. It's required. You cannot reject holiness and follow God at the same time. You can reject human standards of interpretation. You can reject a particular church's teaching on holiness and follow the Lord. But you can't reject what God says about holiness and the call to holiness and follow him at the same time. Thank you for being with us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, as always, delighted to be with you. It is my privilege to be coming into your cars, into your homes, into your places of business, into your ears and brains and hearts and lives one way or another. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. There's a post from James on our Ask Dr. Brown website, Ask Dr. Brown's Facebook page. Often church folk seem to hate the idea of saying, do not do this or that when speaking of holiness. It is nice to know that the epistles are full of descriptive holiness. Yes, sir. What does James mean? The epistles, the letters in the New Testament, don't just tell us to be holy in abstract ways. They don't just put this nebulous concept out there, but they tell us how husbands should treat wives, how wives should treat husbands, how parents should treat kids, how kids should treat parents, how masters should treat slaves in that world, and how slaves should treat masters, how we should conduct ourselves in terms of sexual purity one with another, how we should conduct ourselves in terms of loving and being gracious one to another, how our speech should be. You see, the New Testament doesn't lay things out in the same way that the Old Testament does, in that there was often an emphasis on outward purity in the Hebrew Scriptures to keep Israel separate and to constantly teach them about the ways of God. So this was just breathed into every part of their lives. That you could be clean, unclean, or holy. You had, even with the building of the tabernacle, you had bronze, silver, and gold. You had the holiest place of all, and then the holy place, and you had the inner court, then you had the outer court. There were these gradations that were taught throughout the nation. And the food laws, and don't wear two different types of garments, and don't mingle two different types of seed. Those things were especially there to teach the Jewish people, the people of Israel, principles of holiness to be separate, but they also had rules of conduct as well, rules of sexual purity, and these are now taken further in the New Testament. So James said, now that being said, one should be in a state of living right in all things done, which is the outward proof of the holy work of Christ within. So if what I speak here or see is not of God, then I should cease from that activity. That would separate me from being in a state of worldliness. As one caller said years ago, once he got rid of the outward sin, he didn't know what to do with the rest of his life, so he just began to say, is this light or is this darkness? Is this light or is this darkness? It revolutionized his life, friends.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I know what some of you are thinking, but what about grace? You haven't mentioned grace. You're talking about holiness, 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 holiness. You haven't said a word about grace. Well, some days I talk about grace and don't emphasize holiness as much, but I love the subject of grace. Boy, where would we be without God's grace? Oh, not just the grace that saved us, but the grace that keeps us. But can I tell you something? Grace does not change God's standards. Grace is not a cheap excuse for sin. Grace wipes the slate clean, gives us a brand new start in Jesus, and then empowers us to live for God. Shall I read this from the Word? Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us. What's training us? Grace. Grace. It's God's ongoing help on our behalf, God's empowerment. When we're helpless, it's his help for the helpless. When we're saved, it is his help for the helped. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. That's the gospel. Jesus died to save us from our sins so that we could now belong to him. It's like somebody rescuing a starving child on the roadside, abandoned by family in the third world somewhere. It's the rescue is not just to take that child off the road and bring him to the hospital, let him starve to death there. No, it's to get that kid healthy. Grace reaches down to us when we're in sin and rebellion, picks us up out of the muck, the mire, the filth of our own lives, and now gives us a brand new start. Now this gives us relationship with God and empowerment within and a changed nature so that we now desire to do the will of God. And now we have to renew our mind and we have to order our lives according to our calling in God and according to that new nature. But friends, we should be changed. And can I tell you something? A holy life should make an unholy life uncomfortable. Not by being judgmental and snobbish, but if you're living a holy, clean life and someone around you isn't, and you're really emanating the things of God and you're different, it should make sinners uncomfortable to the point that they want to know what's different in your life and they want to know what they need to do to be saved. 866-34-TRUTH. Jackie in East Orange, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Yes, I was calling to say that I was thinking when you were mentioning the spirit, for some reason I kept thinking of, like with alcohol, it's a funny thing that the world refers to alcohol as spirits. I'm not sure what the origin of that is. And yet I'm seeing where a lot of believers, when they entertain, some of them serve all kinds of alcohol as if, you know, it makes me feel like I'm in a bar sometimes. And I really don't understand that, because there is scripture that speaks against strong drink. And I'm not talking about a glass of wine with dinner either. And, you know, we have to be careful with things like that, because the word is clear about strong drink. And I know many people, I've had loved ones and others who have succumbed to the evils of alcoholism. And I think that that could lead someone to backslide. You know, you could have fellowship and have great food and nice music, but you don't have to have the rum, the vodka, and some of these other things that, I mean, I've even seen where they have a whole cooler full of beer and stuff, and I just have to question that. I don't preach at them. I don't help myself to any of that. I just drink the Poland Spring water and the soft drinks, but I don't understand that, they have a need to serve that.
Let me ask you a question, Jackie.
Yes.
When people are in that environment, other Christians,
yes,
does it ever seem to you that some Christians are under pressure to show that they're not hung up and therefore they're going to have a drink, whereas they normally wouldn't? They're going to have a beer, or some wine or something even stronger, just to prove that they're not some hung-up legalist, whereas they wouldn't normally do it. So there's actually pressure to compromise. Have you observed that?
I believe there's pressure to compromise as human beings with all people, whether they're saved or not.
Yeah.
I don't feel that pressure myself. I know what it is to often be alone, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I would never serve that. I once was married to a gentleman who had an alcohol problem, and I went through a living hell. And I hate alcohol even more now. I don't go and tell anyone, but if people were to ask me why I don't drink or serve liquor, I would tell them. I would give them my testimony, what the Bible says, and what I lived through as a wife with someone who had that problem, and that I really cannot serve anything that could cause a person to backslide because of my love for Jesus Christ and his word. That's just what I would say.
Right. And Jackie, I want to invite anyone that differs with Jackie on this. I want to invite you to call us at 866-34-TRUTH. I promise not to be nasty to you, because I'm not going to be nasty to anybody. But give me a call at 866-348-7884. If you're one of those that would serve hard liquor and lots of alcohol at your parties, make them available. You're a believer, and you feel it's fine, and you feel that this is part of our liberty in Jesus. I'd love for you to call and explain your vantage point, because Jackie, I'm with you on this. And let me say this as well: if somebody invited me to their home, and they had all kinds of alcoholic beverages out in this way, unless I had a relationship with them where it was appropriate for me to interact with them about this, or unless I really felt the Lord burdening me to speak to them, I just let them do what they do. And maybe they're new believers, maybe they come from a different culture that I don't understand, so I'm not going to set myself up as their judge and jury. However, let me say this: with all of the warnings in the Word of God about drunkenness, not total abstaining, doesn't call for total abstaining in every case. That's how I personally live, and I think it's a practical way to live as a witness, as an example, especially as a leader, all right? But there's so many warnings in Scripture about drunkenness. And we all know people who've been destroyed by alcohol, and so many of them have come into the church, and when they get in an environment like that, that could be the one thing that trips them over and causes them to be destroyed. So, Jackie, yeah, I share that concern with you as well. In fact, Let me just mention this to you. Let me say this again. I personally totally abstain, and I have in my 40 years in the Lord, as far as abstaining from alcoholic beverages of all kind. I do not believe that I can prove from Scripture that every believer should totally abstain. Okay? Is that clear? I am not putting that on every believer, and I recognize Jesus turned water into wine at Cana. I recognize Paul told Timothy to drink wine for his stomach's sake. Wine was considered to be medicinal. Yes, it may not have had the fermentation that wine has today. I know that there are warnings, like Proverbs 20, that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived by it's not wise. I also know that Israel, at certain times of the year, the Israelites could drink all kinds of liquor, you know, wine, beer, or strong drink when they feasted before the Lord in a special occasion and situation. And yet I also know that drunkenness is constantly warned against. So I am not laying this on everybody here and saying if you ever have a glass of wine with a meal that you're going to hell or you're in sin or something like that. However, I just want to say this to you. Our emphasis should not be on what I can do as far as the flesh. The emphasis should be on how I can please the Lord. In other words, my goal is not to go to a movie and hope it's not too bad. Wasn't too much profanity, wasn't too much nudity, wasn't too overt a sex scene, wasn't too much blaspheming of the Lord, so I could still enjoy the movie. No, my goal is find out what pleases the Lord. All right, Frank, thank you for calling in, and share your perspective with us. Frank from Staten Island, love to hear your perspective.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Brown. There is really nothing wrong, intrinsically evil, about alcohol. As a matter of fact, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 14, we're even allowed to drink strong drink. God allows us to do that. You see in verse 26.
Right. Yeah, I was just referring to that passage, but not citing it. So, okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Whatever your heart desires, even strong drink, it says. However, the admonition is against drunkenness.
Yep.
And if I thought by serving liquor that if there was people there that have a problem with it, it was going to cause them to stumble, of course I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people really don't understand. Only approximately 14% of people who drink habitually are alcoholics. They did studies on this. About 86% of people who drink are not alcoholics. So I would say there's nothing intrinsically evil about alcohol. You could certainly have a glass of wine or two, as long as you don't start to get tipsy from it, or beer, or even strong drink, as it says. And I wouldn't follow the legalistic attitude toward that. You know, it is liberty there.
All right, tell me, Frank, hang on for a second. We've got a break, but I want to keep talking with you about this, all right? So stay with us.
Sure.
We'll be back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We've been talking about holiness. In a moment, I want to give you a list of the articles on holiness that we have on the Voice of Revolution website, all free for you to read. If someone reads them to you, then you can listen as they read. Talk about holiness, and we got into a discussion about alcohol. So, Frank from Staten Island, thanks for holding. Just one moment, wanted to say this. Deuteronomy 14, in terms of the Israelites cashing in their tithe, and then they could convert it into whatever they want, spend the money for whatever they desired, oxen, sheep, wine, strong drink. Of course, this was not a daily thing with them. This would have been a once-a-year type of occasion. But in your own life, as far as alcohol, what would be warning signs that there's a problem? Outside of drunkenness, what would you consider as warning signs that there are issues with this? Because it obviously must be handled with care, correct?
Yeah.
So what would be warning signs to you that perhaps you've crossed a line, or this is dangerous, or something like that?
Well, I would say that if you can't get through the day without a drink or several drinks, if you find yourself getting into arguments and fights every day because of your drinking, if you need an eye-opener, what they call in the morning, if you're starting to drink earlier and earlier, definitely problem signs. Red flags should go up every place.
What if you were using it just for emotional purposes, that you found it relaxed your nerves and something like that, or just kind of took the edge off? Would that be okay, or is that now starting to get into something beyond just a drink?
Well, I don't know. I mean, some people, I know quite a few people that after a hard day's work, they would come home, and before they have their dinner, they would have a drink or two. But that's about it. And it would relax them. They're not drunk, and it doesn't seem to be a problem. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think that would be much of a problem, Dr. Brown.
Got it. Well, hey, Frank, I'm just having a dialogue with you and letting our listeners listen in. Listen, this has provoked a whole bunch of calls, so I want to grab a few more. But thanks for staying with us. Thanks for sharing your perspective, Frank. I appreciate
it. Okay, thank you.
All right, God bless you. Kathleen in Boston, what's your take on this?
Oh, this is Kathleen. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Well, I do agree pretty much with the last caller, but the only thing I really don't agree with is if you come home every night and actually have to have a drink to relax. I think if you can't not go through the evening or a day of work without having a drink, I think that you have to start examining yourself as to why you have to have that drink. But I think everything in moderation, and I think our body is the temple of God, and God would want us to take care of our bodies. And so I think having a glass of wine or having, you know, even hard liquor or whatever, that's vodka or whatever else it is, on occasion is not a bad thing. I think getting drunk is the issue more than anything else. And I seem to think we have more of an issue with people overeating than alcoholism.
Uh-huh.
To me, it's far more apparent that people overindulge in unhealthy food and then a lack of inactivity.
Yeah, you know, I've got to do a whole show about food issues and discipline with food, and what the word says about that, and what's happening in our culture. I hope you would agree, though, that just because we definitely have a problem in our society with overeating, then that doesn't justify being lax with standards with alcohol. But I appreciate you bringing that up. I appreciate your perspective. I got to run, but we'll talk about this more in the air. And thanks for bringing up the other issue. All right, I may not get to all of your calls right now. However, if you can hang on into the next hour, you'll be able to hear everything. I'm speaking to all of you who are holding right now on the phone. You'll be able to hear everything over the phone, but you may not be getting it in your city anymore, the program. But if you can stay with us, if I don't get to all your calls, hang on, stay with us. Let me emphasize a couple of things, all right? I'm glad that the specific subject of alcohol came up, because it's easy to talk in the abstract and have everyone agree. Then we get to specifics and questions do come up. We all agree, I'm saying everyone that's called in about this, we all agree that drunkenness is sin. And the Bible warns that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. That people who practice drinking and to the point of drunkenness are resisting God's will and are living lives that the Word of God says are lives that are not holy. And Jesus died to save us from those sins. I want to emphasize this, though, all right? Absolutely, we need to talk about specific issues. Someone's posted and asked, okay, what about bikinis and Speedos on beach and those kinds of things? Oh, absolutely relevant subjects for sure when we tackle the issue of holiness, because it will affect the way we live. It will affect the way we dress. It will affect the way we think. It will affect the way we speak. It'll affect the way we interact with spouses and children, excuse me, and fellow workers. It will interact with every area of life. What I want to encourage you to do, though, is put the emphasis on striving to be like Jesus. In other words, don't put the emphasis on, can I do this or can't I do that? I mean, we do that when we're brand new believers and when we don't know better, or where we encounter a new situation we've never been involved with before. However, the goal for life is not to always believe in, can I do this? Is that okay? Is that not okay? The goal is, let's become like Jesus. The goal is, let's become more and more people who love God and who love what he loves and hate what he hates. People who are conformed to his image, people who are pure in heart, in deed, in mind, in attitude, in motivation, in conduct, in speech. Let that be our goal. So on our website, askdrbrown.org, click on the line of fire, you'll find a list of articles. My article on liberty from sin, not liberty to sin. David Harwood on blameless on that day, holiness and love. Brian Pirtle, The Sense of God's Holiness. Andrew Yeoman, Victory in Jesus, A Call to Practical and Spirit-Filled Purity. Brian Pirtle, Cleanse Our Eyes, A Call to Consecration in the Area of Entertainment. Burning Idols by Dan Kalenda. These are all free articles that you can read on our Voice of Revolution website. So go to askdrbrown.org, click on the line of fire, and that'll give you a link to all of these articles and resources. Today, our special offer that we're continuing this week, very, very relevant, 20 hours of teaching on two CDs and only $20 each plus postage. Today you can get both for $20 and we'll pay the postage. So you get over 20 hours of teaching for $20. We'll pay the postage. This is to listen to on your computer or your MP3 player. 20 hours of teaching on holiness, what it means to be holy, the difference between legalism and liberty, and how to live without being under condemnation, practical teaching on holiness, and then more teaching, 10 more hours of teaching on how to be led by the Spirit, practical ways to hear and follow the voice of God. Call us at 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of this offer. 1-800-278-9978. The CDs on holiness and how to be led by the Spirit. My bottom line, our standard is very high. It is as high as God himself. He is the one who says, be holy because I am holy. He is the one that says that we must become like him. In the natural, it's impossible. In the natural, we'll never attain. But by his Spirit, we can be changed. By his Spirit, we can be holy. That is the power of the blood of Jesus. In the the scriptures, God says to us, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. The word of God tells us to come out and be separate. How holy is holy enough? How holy is too holy? We'll take it up today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is my contention that in Jesus we have liberty from sin, not liberty to sin. When people say Jesus has set me free, you're not going to put a bunch of rules and regulations on me. I tell them, well, he set you free from sin, not to sin. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about holiness today on The Line of Fire. We're talking about the call to come out and be separate. We're not supposed to go live in some isolated areas like the monks did in the past and separate ourselves from the world in that sense, because we're called to go into the world and make a difference. And yet, at the same time, we know that the world pollutes. We know that the world is coming our way the moment we turn on the TV most of the time, or open our computer, you know, through our emails, through internet, through you name it, where we walk down the streets and the world is calling our name and the ads and beckoning us. So how do we live holy lives in the midst of an unholy world? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, if you go to askdrbrown.org and click on The Line of Fire, you'll find a list of articles that we have online, all different articles, terrific articles on holiness that'll be eye-opening, life-changing, all available for you free on our website. Jesus came to set us free. We know that. It's a fundamental truth of the gospel. It's repeated over and over in the New Testament. Paul wrote it, Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. But what does it mean to be free? You have an atheist like Christopher Hitchens. That's one of his big arguments. Be free. Come out from the tyranny of this idea of a God, and you're a slave to this God. Be free. Be your own master. Do what you want to do. Well, I contend that's not freedom. That's not freedom. That's bondage. According to the New Testament, we have been released from serving God through an external legal system so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code, Romans 7:6. We've been delivered from slavery to Satan and the fear of death, Hebrews 2:15. We've been set free from condemnation and guilt, Romans 8:1 through 4. We've been released from the debt of sin. So Jesus comes as a liberator. But do you know the main thing he liberates us from is sin itself? In Jesus, we've been set free from sin. Jesus says to the Jews who believed in him in John 8, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. And they said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we'll be set free? Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Ooh. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. We are free from sin, not free to sin. You shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, Matthew 1:21, for he will save his people from their sins. John 1:29, John the Immerser, John the Baptist sees Jesus. What does he say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What's written in Romans 6, you have died to sin. How can you live in it any longer? So what does this mean on a practical level? At the end of the last hour, which some of you listen to online, otherwise you wouldn't get in your city directly by radio yet, at least, we got into a discussion about alcohol and the believer. Let's talk about that a little further. What is liberty? What is license? What is legalism? And come on, it's really hot these days. A lot of you may be out at the beach. How should holiness affect our dress on the beach? Ooh, we'll talk about it. Change the world.
flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before we go to the phones and talk about some specifics, we're called to live holy lives. We're called to come out and be separate. We will be different than the world. Our sexual ethic, our business ethic, our marriage ethic, our family ethic, our conduct towards other people, our attitude, we will be and should be different from the world. It should be evident for people when they look at us and they see we are different. The word calls us to be holy. It commands us to be holy. Be holy, the Lord says, because he is holy. Hebrews 12:14 tells us to pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Jesus says it's those with a pure heart who see God. Jesus changes us, forgives us, transforms us, and now calls us to be holy. What does that mean? Can you be holy and have a sip of vodka, or is that a personal issue? Can you be holy and wear a bikini on the beach around other people? Can you be holy and use profanity? Can you be holy and yell at your children? I mean, where do we draw lines? Where do we go beyond what the Word of God says? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Annette in Manhattan, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Brown. I'm calling again on the question of the consumption of alcohol.
Yes.
As a sister alluded to in the last hour, she said that our body is a temple of God. So with that said, my question concerns the scripture verse that if any man or, I say, all woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Behold, the old is passed away and the new has come. So mm-hmm. if consumption of alcohol, regardless of any measure, and I'm going to also say that I'm not castigating anyone, but I am questioning this. In any measure of alcohol was consumed, if that's what you did in your old life, if you wore inappropriate attire in your old life, if you used profanity in your old life, if you've received Christ, and if you are in Christ, well, wouldn't it stand to reason that, you know, all of that would be put aside?
Yeah, so the question would be, let's say there are lots of things we did before we were saved that were fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that we got up early in the morning and made our bed, you know? Let's say that we were polite to our parents. Well, we don't change those things because we're new creations. We only change the things that were wrong. So ultimately, that has to be the standard. Was this sin in God's sight before I was saved? Is this sin in God's sight now that I'm saved? And that's the real issue. Like for me, I'd be a perfect example of what you're saying because I only drank to get drunk before I was saved. I didn't enjoy drinking in terms of the taste of alcohol. I enjoyed getting drunk. So I drank to get drunk. When I got saved, I quit drinking and never drank again for the rest of my life, you know, for 40 years now. I had no reason to. I had no interest in it. I didn't like the taste of alcohol. I only drank to get drunk. So that was a given to me. What if someone else, say they grew up in Europe and they'd have a glass of wine with dinner. They'd never been drunk once in their lives. Now they get saved. Do they need to give up that glass of wine? I would say if the Holy Spirit spoke to them or if it was a stumbling block to others, but the thing itself, if it had never been an area of sin in their lives or violated Scripture, then I wouldn't be the one to make an issue with it, even though I personally have totally abstained for 40 years.
Okay, and I would also say as well, I also had, had alcohol also, but it was for the taste of it. You
yeah.
know, but I realized that when I received Jesus Christ, you know, again, that had no place in my life, and particularly in terms of his plan and purposes. Again, as you said, it is an individual call, but at the same time, it's also a question of whether or not it lines up with the Word of God. So
yes.
I got that, but I just have to question that. I mean, if this is something that we did, you know, before we received Christ, and if our body is a temple of God and the Holy Spirit resides there, then I would like to think that perhaps the Holy Spirit will also guide them in terms of what to do or not to do.
If we really honor the Lord, let's remember that we develop habits, you know, mm-hmm. and we can develop habits that are so deep and thick that we don't really hear the voice of the Lord anymore, that we become so used to the flesh or our way of doing things. So absolutely, we have to bathe our hearts and minds in the Word of God. We have to spend quality time in the presence of God. We have to fellowship with other people who have godly hearts and minds as well. And then that helps us hear the Spirit in terms of leading us. By the way, one interesting thing in that, my wife Nancy, we've been married now 35 plus years. I got saved in 71. She got saved in 74. We were both 19 when we met. But before she was saved, she drank alcohol. Yeah, she got drunk, but she really liked the taste of it. So just like you, when she got saved, she thought, I can't touch it for that reason, because it had a pull and appeal to her. So it was kind of the opposite of mine, but for the opposite reasons, we both gave it up. But hey, Annette, thanks for calling. And let us really set our heart on going higher in the Lord, right?
Yes.
Instead of saying,
amen.
Well, can I get away with this? To say, Lord, what would really please you? And then walk in that. Thanks for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll stay on the alcohol subject a bit longer. But what about going to the beach? I just want to hear from you. If you're going to be holy, is that going to influence the way you dress on the beach? Will you be on the beach? Maybe you're a guy, and being on the beach is very defiling for you because of all the gals running around 90% naked. Maybe you're a gal and you don't notice the guys in the same lustful way. Maybe you do. But should you dress in a way or undress in a way that is going to make you an object of lust to others? What does holiness require? 866-34-TRUTH. Tom in Newtown, Connecticut, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
You were just at our church in Gateway at West Haven.
Ah, okay, in West Haven. Wonderful. Sure thing.
Yeah, I gave Mikhail a book to give to you. I don't know if he remembered, a Brother Frank book.
Yes, okay. Actually, I'm going to be seeing him in the next day or two, hopefully. So if I don't think I got it then, but I've got to check. I've got a stack of things
I
was given.
Make sure he gives it.
All right, I'll do it. I'll do it, man. Sure thing. So what's your take on this?
Well, you know, I stopped drinking 27 years ago, and the scripture in the Bible that I like to use as an example is when David took Bathsheba, and then she got pregnant, and then he wanted to get her husband back so he would sleep with her and he'd get off the hook. And when he brought her husband back, he wouldn't go and sleep with her. And then he said, surely I'll invite him over and he'll eat and he'll get drunk and then he'll sleep with her. And when you drink alcohol, it gets you to do something that you wouldn't do if you were straight, if you didn't drink it.
All right, so let me just jump in and ask you this question, because you would know better than someone who didn't come out of what you did. How subtle an effect can alcohol have on someone in terms of loosening them up? In other words, okay, people know I shouldn't get drunk, but how powerful is alcohol just in terms of changing one's attitude, mindset, thoughts in a way that is not conducive to holiness?
I think, you know, it depends on the individual, but I think one drink for many people, and, you know, I think, I'm not sure, but Sarah Palin's daughter, I think she got drunk, got pregnant. There's a lot of women, and that was in the old movies. The men were always trying to get the woman to have a drink to loosen them up. And
right,
for some
right.
people, one drink, and then all of a sudden you find out you're in a situation that you wouldn't be in if you didn't have that.
Got it. And once you got free, you just abstained totally because of the power it once had in your life.
Yeah, I actually stopped before. I was doing when I drank, I did Coke. And as a good example of, you know, if I had a drink, then I didn't want to do Coke. But if I had a drink, I was on the phone looking to buy some.
All right,
and if I didn't drink,
yeah, I'm sorry. So if you went to conversation we were having last hour, someone invites a bunch of Christians over to their home for fellowship. They're having some snacks and meals, and they've got beer, wine, even rum, vodka out. Especially in your early days in the Lord, how would that have struck you, and how would that have affected you?
You know, it's funny because when I knew I needed to stop for a while, my brother had stopped. My parents were, you know, drank growing up. And, I kind of didn't want to judge people and say, you know, everybody's in their own time. And I was just reading the other day about this, about also when it says, you know, somebody wants to eat meat and somebody doesn't want to eat meat, and it's where their faith is at that time. And we're all in a process. And I think, you know, if you have something and it changes your behavior, then you need to not have that.
Right. That's very, very, very simple and clear. Hey, thanks for weighing in, and thank God for liberty and freedom in Jesus. 866-34-TRUTH. Look, you can't get away from the fact that the New Testament has a lot to say about holiness, that Jesus talked about purity of heart, that Jesus, Yeshua, the Son of God, told us that if our right hand causes us to sin, or our right eye causes us to sin, our right foot causes us to sin, he's speaking figuratively, metaphorically, if it causes us to sin, better to chop the hand off or pluck the eye out and throw it away than to go to hell with both hands, both eyes, both feet. Again, he's using a figure of speech, but he's telling us that we need to deal with sin radically because it can destroy us. It can damn us. He's telling us that sin can be our undoing, and therefore we don't make a truce with it. We don't come up with some compromise like we did with the debt ceiling here with the budget. You deal with sin ruthlessly. Otherwise, sin would destroy you. Jesus, who knows better than anyone, warned us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is a delight to be with you today on The Line of Fire, talking about holiness, talking about purity, talking about how we please the Lord. Can I remind you that holiness is beautiful? Holiness is not binding. What's binding is human interpretations of holiness that put people into bondage. But holiness itself is beautiful. Holiness is becoming like Jesus in thought, word, and deed. Holiness is saying no to that which destroys and yes to that which gives life. Look what Charles Finney said. Show me a young convert while his heart is warm and the love of God glows out from his lips. What does he care for the world? Call up his attention to it, point him to its riches, its pleasures, or its honors, and try to engage him in their pursuit. And he loathes the thought. But let him now go into business and do business on the principles of the world 1 year. You no longer find the love of God glowing in his heart, and his religion has become the religion of conscience, dry, meager, uninfluential, anything but the glowing love of God moving him to acts of benevolence. What he's saying is what moves you is the love of God. What moves you is wanting to be like him and wanting to please him. Look, when a husband and wife are madly in love, they're not fighting every day. Okay, I'm not going to commit adultery today. I will not commit adultery today. Because they're madly in love and they're devoted to each other and the idea of hurting each other or giving place to another person that would be an intruder in that relationship, it's so foreign to them. Yeah, they've got to be like anyone else and be vigilant not to let the enemy in. But it's out of love that we're holy. And it's loving God and wanting to be like him. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. If you click on The Line of Fire, you'll find a whole list of articles that we have on our Voice of Revolution magazine website on holiness that will be edifying, helpful to you. Hey, let's be as practical as we can be. In the abstract, we agree we should be holy. In the abstract, we agree holiness is good, but how does it work itself out in our lives practically? Friends, this is foundational. We want to be revolutionary for Jesus. We want to be counterculture. We want to swim against the tide and go against the grain and stand up for what's right. Holiness to the Lord is the foundation of it. That's what makes us counterculture people, and that's our message that God has a better way. Oh, that reminds me, before going to the phones, if you're in the greater Charlotte area, we are holding our God Has a Better Way rally August 27th, expecting hundreds and hundreds of believers from all over the city and from other locations to join us as we take the gospel of Jesus and the love of God into Charlotte's Gay Pride event. That is Saturday, August 27th. We'll be giving you more details on it, but mark that down from 12 to 3, Saturday, August 27th. And if you're in the area, greater Charlotte area, we're having a prayer rally this Saturday, August 6th. I'll be speaking at Fire Church, which is right by Charlotte Motor Speedway, and then we'll be entering into 21 days of prayer, fasting, different ways as the Lord leads, leading up to August 27th. And then our night classes, starting with Principles of Revival, which of course ties in with holiness, Principles of Revival, starting August 23rd. Okay, back to the phones, Malcolm in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Who are you calling? This is you. Oh, good afternoon. How you
Malcolm.
Doing?
Malcolm, yes, sir. You
yeah,
are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're on the radio. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I'm reminded of a couple of scriptures when you were speaking about the life of holiness. I'm glad that the callers prior to me mentioned about the new life in Christ and being a new creation, and the other one that the young man mentioned. But what comes to my mind is when Paul was teaching over in Romans, and he was telling us that he beseech us by the mercies of God to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service.
Yes.
And to not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that's a process within itself. First, it's like you got to want to please God. And the thing that would draw you to pleasing him is, like you said a few minutes ago, is the love that you have for him.
Yeah.
When you think about what all God has done for you to redeem you back to himself, that within itself should drive a person to want to live to please him. And the other scripture that comes to mind is over in 2 Peter, where he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness,
yes,
through
sir.
The knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. So, I mean, there's scriptures in the Bible showing you where God, you know, he wants us to live a life of holiness in order to draw others to himself. And
yes,
so there is, we do have to deny ourselves certain things. And when you look at it, he said, being a living sacrifice, that's only our reasonable service. So it's not like he's asking something above and beyond for us to do. So it's just a matter of a person choosing to live for him because of what he's done for us.
Yeah, Malcolm, I agree with every word you just said and the wonderful verses that you quoted. Amen and amen to it. Look, he's calling us to be like him. I mean, here we are, human beings. Here I was when I was 16 years old, 40 years ago, shooting heroin, stealing money from my own father, lying, profane, full of rebellion. And Jesus not only dies for me, but now he calls me, he calls you to become like him, to enter into this family, to partake of his divine power and divine nature. And he's given us these amazing promises. This is the most wonderful thing we could imagine. And yet some people look at it completely wrongly, and they think it's bondage, it's negative.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just trying to put a bunch of laws. I mean, no, we're being called upward to become like him. And then absolutely that should draw people to him. Hey, Malcolm, thanks for weighing in with the word and that wisdom. I appreciate it very much, man.
All right. Thank you.
God bless you. Yeah, I mean, there's so many verses. That's why I wrote a whole book on holiness called Go and Sin No More. Bad news, the book is temporarily out of print. Good news, I have a teaching series over 10 hours on holiness, practical steps to living a holy life, incentives to live a holy life, the meaning of grace, how to live without being under condemnation, all laid out on a CD for your MP3 player or for your computer. But here's even better news. The CDs are only $20, but this week we're giving you this CD along with my teaching over 10 hours on how to be led by the Spirit. Again, super practical. Who the Holy Spirit is, how he works in our lives, how we learn to know his voice and follow his leading. Both CDs for the price of one, so just $20 for over $20 of 20 hours. $20 for over 20 hours of teaching, all right? So it's a great, great deal. Plus, we'll pay the postage. You get all the teaching on holiness, all the teaching on being led by the Holy Spirit. We'll pay the postage. Just $20 for those resources together. But call us today to take advantage of this, all right? Our team's ready to take your call. 1-800-278-9978. The two CDs, over 20 hours of teaching, postage paid. 1-800-278-9978. Stand with us to help with our radio broadcast. Become a monthly torchbearer. You can do it all at this number. But by all means, get these resources into your hands. And then remember all the free resources we've been mentioning to you online. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. We come back. We're going to open up some other aspects of holiness, how it works out in our day-to-day lives. Stay with us, friends.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Isn't this interesting? One of the greatest gifts that God has given us, one of the highest callings that he set before us, one of the most wonderful things that he has for us in our destiny, has become to so many negative, has become to so many unspiritual, has become to so many something to avoid rather than something to pursue. I'm talking about holiness. Do you know, according to Ephesians, the first chapter, that we have been destined to holiness? One of the Puritans said that perfect holiness is the goal of the saints on earth, but it's the reward of the saints in heaven. Isn't that something, that we'll be rewarded with perfect holiness? Lord, what will I get on that day? What can I expect on that day? Perfect holiness. Huh. That's my reward? I thought now in heaven I get all the good stuff. That's the most wonderful thing, to become like Jesus in thought, word, and deed, to be free from the influence of sin, to be free from the pollution of the world, to be absolutely pure, to perfect love, perfect goodness. Wow. Think of that. That's our destiny in Jesus. We're talking about holiness today on the line of fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire or weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, where we've asked the question, what does it mean to come out from the world? What does it mean to be separate and holy? We've had some interesting conversations in earlier parts of the show. The subject of alcohol has come up. Some believers having gatherings, fellowship gatherings, and having coolers of beer and wine and even rum and vodka and other hard liquor. Others saying, boy, I get offended and grieve when I'm there. It seems that we're just catering to the flesh. Others saying, hey, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with alcohol itself. It's drunkenness that's wrong. What about the way we dress? How about that? Should holiness affect the way we dress? Should holiness affect whether we go to the beach or to pools, or how we dress or don't dress at beaches or pools? Should holiness affect that? How should holiness affect our speech? How should holiness affect our thought life? How should holiness affect our interpersonal relationships? How should holiness affect our business conduct? You see what I'm saying? Holiness is not just some abstract thing. And look, can I be honest with you? I mean, just shoot straight. You know I always do on the broadcast here, but I want to share something with you. It just baffles me because I don't understand it. Maybe some of you can help me understand this. 866-34-TRUTH. I don't understand how someone can have a wonderful encounter with God in worship, really experience his presence. At least it seems like they do. Sing beautiful songs to the Lord from their heart. You know, holiness is what I long for. And I just want to be with you, Lord. And then go out from there and watch some worldly movie with all kinds of profanity, gratuitous violence, sexual innuendos, maybe even a little nudity, and not have any problem with it. I don't understand it. It's one thing if people are just in a dead formalistic church and not encountering God. And in their own personal lives, they're distant from him. And you know, they download pornography and not even think twice about it. Or they can scream and yell at family members and get violent with them and not even think twice about it. It's one thing if people are just religious hypocrites and at a distance from God. But I don't understand this. Or in some circles, you know, the sign of, like, Christian liberty or freedom is you have this great time of worship, and then the worship leader, who's got to be slick and cool, is going to use some mild profanity. You know, wasn't that some blank of a time or whatever, or you know, whatever they're going to say, and everybody laughs, and we're free. I don't understand that. I don't understand how being in that precious, holy, wonderful environment does not produce something in your heart where you really want to please the Lord. It'd be like a woman on her wedding day in a beautiful white dress. She certainly doesn't take some coffee and spill it on her dress or go out and roll in the mud. Who would think of such a thing? We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about holiness today on The Line of Fire. Tomorrow, I really prayed about the broadcast and felt to bring a call to courage tomorrow. I think it will really lift your spirit and encourage you. So if somehow you don't normally catch the Wednesday broadcast on The Line of Fire, do your best to get it. I think it'll make a difference in your life. 866-34-TRUTH as we focus on holiness of life today. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Before we go to the phones, I got a great email from Tracy. Hello, Dr. Brown. I'm not sure if you remember me. However, I called The Line of Fire one day to share my testimony with you how God has delivered me from homosexuality. It was amazing, powerful testimony. Tracy said, you sent me your powerful book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which I'm now in the process of reading. I can barely put it down and I can barely read it. Sad, powerful, true, and necessary. I cry and literally become sick reading about the agenda of this demonic spirit. Continue the great work God is doing through you and your ministry. I will be in touch once I complete the book. Demonic spirit, she means there is a demonic spirit that's out to destroy homosexual and heterosexual alike. And our message to the homosexual community, really to the whole world, is God has a better way. God's ways are ways of holiness, and that means ways of peace, that means ways of joy, that means ways of truth, that means ways of purity. How does this work out in our own lives? Vicki in Winston-Salem, thanks for holding. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I think first and foremost, we have to define what holiness is based on the Word of God, and that therein does the problem lie. Most people, I forget what the statistics are, don't even know what the Word of God says. We've been sitting under pastors or teaching that talk about legalism and freedom and you know, in Christ, but not really understanding the Word of God and how that pertains to holiness.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to take it to the basics, and then we have to understand where that individual is in his or her walk. Are they X2 individuals who have a good understanding, and they know that they have been reborn into a new nature with Christ, or are they Acts 17 individuals who don't have a clue? And we think just because people grow up in America, we've all been exposed to, you know, the Bible and the teachings and have a good understanding, when in fact we live in a very pluralistic society, and they may not know. And they may not even understand what holiness is. So that's the comment.
So if someone said, in a nutshell, how would you define holiness? What would you tell them?
How would I define holiness? Separate from the world based on the Word of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice that's set apart from the world for God's purpose. And so that's how I would define it. And then also I have to understand that individual's perspective, mm-hmm. their lifestyle and things of that nature. So therefore, I could really explain to them what it meant. But first
Got
and
it.
Foremost, you have to have a love for God. And to love God, you have to know God and,
mm-hmm.
and know what he has done for you. And that is going to bring about the change in one's life.
Right, so a foundation of New Testament holiness is knowing God and fellowshipping with him, as opposed to just having a set of rules that are out there that I'm supposed to conform to. So obviously relationship with God, fellowship with him, becoming like him, the foundation of it. Yeah, I appreciate the wisdom of your call. God bless you, Vicki. There's a post I just want to share from our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, from Rebecca. I teach my children that holiness is like your toothbrush. We don't use it to brush the dog or use it to scrub the bathroom. We don't give it to someone else to use. We keep it in a special place separate from the other brushes so it stays clean. It is for one special purpose. God wants us to keep our hearts separate and clean for him so we are ready when he wants to use us. The toothbrush analogy. Yeah, and when you work that out, I like that. That works well. Kim in Seminole, Florida, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. How are you today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Oh, okay. I was calling concerning the holiness and dress.
Yeah.
Brought up, especially living here near the beach and everything, and it's so hot. That is a big issue around here. We, as a believer, it's good to be discipled. I don't think that is done enough, and get into a church with very good doctrine, teaching from the Word, which we do have around here, and getting into the Bible and reading it and, you know, questioning it and just making yourself pray every day. But, yeah, as far as the dress goes, it's very important. I have to think about it as a reverence for God and how I dress and, you know, what is being exposed on my body, because men are much more visual concerning that, and it's a worldly thing. People don't understand, I guess.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, holiness does bring a difference in every area of our lives, in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our conduct, and yes, our dress. I mean, there are certain things that are neutral, but there are other things that are immodest, that are seductive. And there are Muslims who live in very hot parts of the world, and they cover themselves head to toe. If they're willing to do that for their religion, there are religious Jews that live in hot parts of the world, and they cover themselves from head to toe. So the idea that it's hot and therefore we have to somehow strip down is not something that follows necessarily. But a bottom line, people should ask, okay, why am I dressing like this? Okay, it's hot out, but fine. We're still putting clothes on. We're still covering ourselves. We're not walking out naked. What am I trying to show my body off? Am I trying to get people to look at me? And especially for women, a woman may not be as tempted visually as men are, but a godly woman needs to be thinking of this. Am I drawing attention to myself in a way that would make my brother stumble, or that would maybe get worldly satisfaction for that woman because guys are looking at her? I've heard women say, look, people are going to look at me anyway. I guarantee you they look at you a whole lot more when you're dressed seductively than when you are dressed in a godly, modest way. So it's not a matter of we have a universal standard and everyone has to conform to it like a burqa in Islam or a religious Jewish outfit, but absolutely we need to cultivate modesty. We need to look at our lives and say, I'm going to be different. I'm going to shine. I'm not going to make people stumble. I want to draw people to Jesus rather than to lust and carnality. Thanks for weighing in, Kim. You can differ with me, friends. I didn't give specific details. I gave principles. Look at what's written in 2 Timothy 2:22. Paul's words to a man of God, young man of God named Timothy. So flee youthful passions. That's one thing. Flee those. You've got to run from them. And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So three major steps. Flee what's wrong. Run from what's wrong. When I surrendered to the Lord, I took all the drug paraphernalia. I took the needles I had in my house. I took the cocaine I had in my house. I took all the junk in December 17th of 71 that was related to shooting drugs. I took it and I threw it off a bridge. Got rid of it. And then when there are other things, other items I had in the house, when I was convicted, I got rid of them. I threw them away. There was a time when I would stay in hotels and I would tell them I want the TV removed from the room. I just felt it was safer and important for me to do that. I want the TV removed from the room. It was a hassle to do it, but I didn't want to be around it. And I didn't want to have the option of watching certain things that I never would have watched at home or if we didn't have a TV at home. Whatever it is that you have to do, you're in the midst of a relationship with someone that's an ungodly relationship. You're married and you're getting very friendly with someone in a chat room somewhere, or you're starting to send pictures back and forth of you. That flee, cut it off, flee. Don't cut it back, cut it off. That's how we have to deal with it. If we don't, that thing will come around and kill us. Flee youthful passions. And by the way, you ever heard of a dirty old man? There can be youthful passions and you're 70 years old. Flee youthful passions, that's one, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. All right? So you pursue what's good. Being holy is set apart from sin, set apart to God. Can I repeat that? Set apart from sin, set apart to God. It is becoming like Jesus in thought, word, and deed. It is not just a negative, it is a positive. Flee youthful passions, one. Two, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Three, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Yeah, we reach out to lost people, and we reach out to people who are hurting and who are weak and who are new in the faith. But then we also choose to run our race with other people of like heart. Fire begets more fire. Purity encourages more purity. Impurity encourages more impurity. So get with others of like heart. Be in fellowship with others who challenge you to step higher, and then you in turn encourage them to walk holy in the Lord. We'll take your calls. Keep talking about this when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Hey, I want to encourage you, as I've been looking at some callers, some haven't gotten on the program, but called in with their own story about alcoholism, drinking. I want to encourage you to never do anything that causes another believer to stumble. Now obviously, you might not know that, like, chewing gum causes somebody to stumble, okay? And you can't live your whole life with, I wore a blue shirt today. I didn't know that was going to cause my coworker to stumble because they have an issue with blue. I'm not talking about extremes that the word doesn't call us to. But I am talking about sensitivity where someone struggled with sin in their lives. Someone struggled with issues in their lives. And then we're insensitive to that, and we think, well, I have liberty. Perhaps you live in a culture where you've had a glass of wine with dinner most of your life, and you've never gotten drunk or tipsy or high in the least with it, and it's no different to you than a glass of water is to me. I'm not judging you. I know people like that. That's the case in their lives. But I want to encourage you that if you know someone that shares their testimony in church and how they were bound by alcohol and they've been set free and they're never going to touch it again, you go out to dinner with that person, don't order a drink. You have that person over to your home, don't have a drink. Even if before God you have liberty to, Paul lays out the principle in 1 Corinthians 8 and Romans 14 that if my liberty causes another brother for whom Jesus died to stumble, then I've destroyed my brother. We have the liberty in our maturity in the Lord to say no to these things and to, restrict ourselves for the sake of others, so that they can be strong in the Lord. 866-34-TRUTH. Tom in West Salt Lake, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, I wanted to weigh in on this issue. I find that with, like, pride and every other things, with other sins, that when I pull away from my sins and walk into the proverbial darkness of the light of Christ, the other things open up and I can see things clearer. So my holiness gets bigger, brighter.
How do you personally do that? How do you walk into the light of Christ so that you can see things more clearly?
By giving up our sins and the things that might make other people stumble.
So just by turning from the things that are you know are wrong, that brings you into a greater revelation of Jesus.
Yeah. And like he says, if you walk into the darkness, I'll make that lighter. So sometimes we have to give up what we want, go into the darkness, and he'll make his light lighter so we can see things clearer.
Right. So it's just like before I was saved, doing drugs all the time. When I got saved, it took a little while for my head to get clear because of all, I was just in a fog with the drugs I was doing. But then my head cleared out. It's like the fog rolls out. You can see more clearly. Absolutely. Thank you for weighing in. Look, can I make a proposal to you? If you know the thing is wrong, then you have to turn from it, right? So that's not a proposal. I mean, we're commanded by God to flee from the things that are destructive and unclean and to come out and not come out from the world, the world's ways, the sinful standards of the world, the sinful mentality of the world, the sinful habits and actions of the world. Come out from them as far as our own conduct and lifestyle. Don't touch anything unclean. But can I propose to you that beyond that, if you're unsure if the thing is right or wrong, maybe you're married and you're struggling, husband and wife, should you watch this? Should you do this? Is this entertainment okay? Is this conduct okay? And if you're unsure, step back from it and say, Lord, what's your perspective on this? Does this please you or not? And if you're convinced it's immaterial to the Lord, it's no different, wearing a blue shirt or a green shirt, you have perfect liberty there. Or if the Lord says, no, I blessed you with this, be free. Or if you feel convicted, it's best if you're unsure, though, step back. Because Paul says in Romans 14, whatever cannot be done in faith is sin. And you never know. Sometimes it's what the Bible refers to as the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's these little foxes. It's these little areas of our lives where they don't seem that significant, but we harden our heart there. We get used to it in another area. And before you know it, compromise has set in. So let's step higher in Jesus, not thinking if I work hard enough, God might accept me. But because we've been accepted, because we've been transformed, because we've been forgiven now, how much more should we live in a way that pleases the Lord? Remember to go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. And we have a whole bunch of articles. Voice of Revolution looks at holiness, articles by Marcus French, Dave Harwood, Blameless on That Day, Holiness in Love, Brian Pirtle, The Sense of God's Holiness, Victory in Jesus, A Call to Practical and Spirit-Filled Purity, Cleanse Our Eyes, A Call to Consecration, the Area of Entertainment from Brian Pirtle, Burning Idols by Dan Kalenda. I've got an article on Liberty from Sin, Not Liberty to Sin. So they're all free. They're all in our online magazine, Voice of Revolution. So please go there. Take advantage of this. You'll be blessed and helped by it. Remember, those in the greater Charlotte area, our night classes at Fire School of Ministry begin August 23rd. That's coming soon, Tuesday. That's, 3 weeks from today. I'll be teaching on Principles of Revival. And by the way, if you take that class and then you want to transfer into our full-time day program, the credits are transferable. Or find out about our full-time day program now, because the time for registration is an application is just about over. But go to fire-school.org and register online for our online classes. Find out about our full-time program. And the special resource offer we have this week is one that will really help you. Over 20 hours of teaching, and we'll send it to you postage paid just for $20. That's right. That's not a mental typo. That's accurate information. My entire teaching series on holiness, how to live a holy life, how to overcome sin, how to walk in the freedom of the Spirit and not get caught up in legalism and bondage and condemnation. That entire series, plus my series on how to be led by the Spirit. The best practical teaching I've done on this subject, I did it years ago, and it's the best I've ever done, so we've put it together. It's on a CD for your computer or MP3 player. Normally each CD is $20, but today you can get both for $20, and again, we'll pay the postage. So how to live a holy life, go and sin no more, principles of holiness, principles of freedom in Jesus, and how to be led by the Spirit, ways to recognize the Spirit's voice and how he works in our lives, practical, helpful teaching. So take advantage of this by calling 1-800-278-9978. This helps us with our broadcast as well to reach more people. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. And again, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. By the way, you can order online if that's easier for you. And then we've got all these free articles for you to read. And again, tomorrow's show, if you didn't hear my announcement, is going to be a call to courage. I think it's really going to help you, strengthen you in the Lord. My bottom line, holiness means becoming like Jesus in thought, word, and deed. Holiness is beautiful, not binding. Holiness is pure love. Holiness is our highest calling in God. Holiness to the Lord is the foundation of our Jesus revolution, the message that changes us, the message that we bring that can change the world. It is our counterculture message. Holiness to the Lord.